Hello and welcome to the Creative Consciousness Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. We are your hosts, Sam and Cabrini Greco, coming to you live from beautiful planet Earth. Throughout our conversation, we will be covering topics such as spirituality, global consciousness, metaphysics, and where you think we're truly headed. We have a great show to share with you today, so bookmark us and receive reminders. And you can visit our website at alltruenatural.com.
Good morning and welcome to Creative Consciousness Radio Show here on Blog Talk Radio. This is Sunday Morning Light and we are so pleased to be with you here today. We want to give a big shout out wherever you are on planet Earth, whether it's your morning or your afternoon or your evening. We are here to bring forth spiritual individuals that are living spiritually purposed lives, and we are so blessed to have you with us today. We want to thank each and every one of you for supporting the spiritual community at large, for supporting the waves of light that are being transmitted through each of us through this radio show. And so, you know, those of you that are in the chat room, we really thank you again that you're here holding the space for the show. It's a glorious morning. It is February 22nd of 2015, and that's a 222. It's a really powerful, blessed number. And so with that, I'm going to turn the show over to my partner and my love, Sam, and he's going to begin to introduce our guest this morning. Hey, guys, let's have a great show.
Oh, hey, thank you, Cabrini, for that great introduction. Today's show, thanks for everybody for being on the show today. Today's show, we have a dear friend of ours. Her name is Chris Emmons, and I'm going to read a little intro about her, and away we go with this. All right, Chris Emmons, author, alchemist, pharmacist, and TV show host. We were fortunate enough to have met Chris during our consciousness tour as she shared her knowledge of Ormus. Chris is the author of the book Ormus Modern Day Alchemy, the primer of Ormus Collection Processes, reference edition, the only published book of its kind, by the way. Chris is also a practicing pharmacist. She hosts Explore the Keys with Chris Emmons TV show as a doorway of spreading the word out about Ormus. Chris is very much involved with the community, offering information on Ormus collection techniques. You can visit her website, ormusbook.com, where you can relate yourself to the book. And I'm going to welcome Chris to our show right now. Chris, hi, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, world, fellow global dwellers, and each one of you individually, whether you're listening live or catching us later on a video. Hello, I love you.
Oh, that's so great. We were so fortunate to meet Chris, by the way. I think it was 2010, and it was a fantastic time. So, Chris, let's hear about alchemy and Ormus. I remember, you know, we spoke yesterday about it, and you gave me such a great definition of an alchemist.
Well, each of you are there on your own life walk, either having heard about Ormus a little, a lot, or none. So I'm going to skip past the whole Ormus concept, and I want to tell you about alchemists. Alchemists is just some word, like rose, and rose is a flower. No big deal. But an alchemist is a finer word than just saying a collector of the good stuff, because that's all an alchemist does. I don't care if you're one today or in the 1500 or earlier. You're just collecting the good stuff from the source materials. Now, what they believe they were collecting is the seed of the source material, the vibrancy that was contained within the source material. Whether or not you come into the concept that you want to collect the good stuff, which is a very non-threatening word, what you're actually going to enter into, unbeknown to yourself, is an actual spiritual initiation. You're not going to come to it from that reasoning. You're going to think you want it because you want better vitality, possibly better health. But in essence, you're going to be feeding the soul, the part of you that's inside that drives the program. and that is going to make a difference in the alchemist's world. Is that clear?
Yeah, that's really clear. I love how you said the Ormus is it's a spiritual awakening or a spiritual initiation if you're first introduced to it. And I like how you said that it's not about feel. It's not like a fix where you need a fix to feel good. It's more of a spiritual activation, initiation. I can tell the people who are listening offhand that, you know, I had this initiation, and it's precisely what Chris Emmons is saying to us today. So the alchemist, Chris, also, I want to also, you know, add on to our conversation yesterday about alchemists. What kind of role would an alchemist have?
Well, let me tell you, an alchemist, let me explain. By definition, once you start collecting the good stuff, and again, you're going to collect it for your own base reasons, your own mundane reasons, because you've heard that it's going to add to your life. But in essence, what then happens is that there's an unfolding that goes on. And it could be just as simple as an unfolding in your mind, that your mind is actually working better. There are studies that show that when you take Ormus, the left side of the brain and the right side of the brain are in better communication with each other, so you get a different brain, so you get a different mind, so you be a different person with new insights. And so you end up end up on a path that you didn't initially think you were going to end up on. What happens with an alchemist or a collector of the good stuff is that you are looking at, you're doing your work, and that's a capital W, collecting the good stuff for your world, the plants in your life's world, the animals in your life's world, your world. And you may meet other collectors of the good stuff, other alchemists, and you may even work with them on occasion, and you may even learn from each other. But the true work with a capital W is truly done alone in your space, just your space. I don't care if it's your second bedroom or your kitchen. You know, the fancy word is your laboratory. And it happens, the work in your heart. And, yeah, I can stand here and encourage you to go down that path, because the path of being a collector of the good stuff, an alchemist, the path of alchemy, you are going to end up being better off in your life walk for it than if you never started. But this really is just for those with ears to hear, because not everybody incarnated in this world at this time to work on spiritual growth. You know, there's actually people who incarnated at this time to have a personal experience in the physical, and they wouldn't even be interested in this topic. And so it's very hard for an alchemist to go out there and market. You're my first radio show, because I don't know, you know, I can't intimately know even the behaviors or the body language of your listeners. And I relegate myself to being receptive to those who are seekers, who've already stepped onto the path. Because marketing just is totally antithesis to what an alchemist is all about. A very personal spiritual journey that an alchemist is willing to share and be a mentor or to help a seeker. But to go out there and chirp, that's a very fine line. It can also bring very bad outcomes. I mean, certainly in the past, the collectors of the good stuff were killed. And nowadays, at least at this moment, they might not be being killed, but if you start talking about these things, the good stuff, collecting the good stuff, you elicit many more negative reactions on this subject than positive. And so I have spoken to Ormus researchers. I have spoken even to Ormus alchemists who make it a practice not to mention Ormus to anyone unless they're actually asked, and asked seriously. In an effort to try to determine if that person is asking as a seeker or not. Sam, have I answered your question? I had a little diatribe there. Is there anything
that's fine. That's perfect. What's Ormus? What is the good stuff? Can you explain a little bit about that?
The definition of ormus is a group of beneficial natural mineral nutrients that support good health and an ability to know yourself. Now, when I talk, I'm going to be speaking about theory because there's very little that is actually truly provably known scientifically in the paradigm of traditional physics. There certainly is a lot that parallels the quantum physics theories. So when I speak, I'm going to speak to you from the stating from my experiences, my hypotheses, my beliefs, what I think it might be, what I suspect it to be, what I reason it to be, and what it seems to resonate to me. That's all my disclaimer, so I don't have to say that over and over again, Sam. Now, what does it do? Ormus superconducts our thoughts and the thought of every cell in every living thing. Okay, let's break that down. When I was in college, I was taught the electric conduction concept of the body, that the body moves via electric conductions. That never made all sense to me because electric conductions cannot move that fast for us to do something like play ping pong or play tennis. But, you know, I had to pass my test, so I answered the questions the way they said. And now that I've heard about ORMIS, which I heard about in 2003, and what I had heard is that it was a material that is able to interact, interface, receive communication from the implicate order, which would be the grand all, the big kahuna, the total universe, the God force, the zero-point energy, the ether, the tachyons. I'm throwing out anything, all kinds of words, so that almost anybody who's listening can get a tag on it. Mm-hmm. And if something is interfacing with them, with that force field, entity, then what we have is instant communication. So we get instant movement in our body and receiving instant thoughts, my friend Laz calls it brain flash insights. And it just happens. Now, ORMIS is not a subject that most people can wrap their mind around initially or even willing to try to understand it. Because keep in mind, our society attempts to keep us locked into the mundane, just the physical world. Go to work, make money, eat, pay bills, sleep, chill, and that could be anything from playing a game or watching TV or baseball or, athletics.
You're right.
And so it really is going to be the person who is willing to ask questions about the realities of life. And is willing to really accept the possibility that of much of what they're told in life is pure bunk. Now, usually that's going to be a person who, if we're going to define them, a person who is humble enough to be led. Not a person who's living their life as in being God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, are you getting a feedback or is that just me?
It could be just you. I'm hearing you perfectly. Your words are perfect.
Excellent. Very good, very good. And so we've got an individual then who is willing to open up to the possibility of a new paradigm and get up to it close and personal.
Yeah, that's quite amazing, this whole description as to what you said. Folks, ORMIS also changed our life as well. We continued using it after we visited you, Chris, back in 2010. We had a fantastic time. We had a fantastic time when we came to see you. I think you're a beacon of light with this subject as well. I think you have enough, you're seasoned enough to eloquently in this way describe it so that people who hear this can follow through if they like.
So let me take you on a journey, if you'll let me.
Go right ahead.
Okay. For everybody who is listening to this or will listen to it on the YouTube later on, it is beneficial for you to go to the Facebook page for the book. And the Facebook page is simply the title of the book, ORMIS Modern Day Alchemy. If you're at a computer now, go there now. And when you go there, pull up the photos. And when you pull up the photos, click on albums, because I have set up for you several albums by topic. And you will be able to see the effects of Ormus on the human and the animal energy centers. You'll be able to see the history, some of the history of the Ormus. You'll be able to see pictures of the two processes to collect the Ormus. There's the dry process and the wet process. These are not fancy terms. The dry process only means that your source material is DRY, dry. The wet process simply means that your source material to collect the Ormus from is WET, wet, like in seawater, or a salty liquid like the Great Salt Lake Sea. And you'll see pictures of me doing my thing individually and with the Ormus community. You'll see pictures of agriculture, before and afters. Now, why are these here? Is that you'll see lots of other pictures, animals. Why are these here is because a picture is worth a thousand words. And I can sit here and blather at you concepts, theories, ideas, but you see the before and after picture yourself and let it hit your eyes over and over and over again. Now, I mentioned that we feel that Ormus is a superconductor. And when we talk about what the superconductor is, that's part of the new quantum physics. That's not part of the traditional physics. And the majority of people don't even know anything about the quantum physics, other than maybe having heard the word. One of the there's two things about a superconductor. First, they always release what's called a Meissner field around them, a field of energy. Now, when you look at aura pictures that are taken with a photo or imager, mm-hmm. what do you see? We call it an aura. Guess what? That's the Meissner field of the superconductors that are naturally in your body, because we all have them. Anything that is alive or anything that ever has been alive has this material in it. We're just suggesting you supplement with more, because we feel in these latter days there is a little bit less of it all around. And so it behooves us to collect some and just augment what we have. So what you're seeing in the aura photo is actually the Meissner field that shows you you've got superconductors in you. So when you go to the albums I'm telling you to go to, you're going to see underneath the human or energies, you're going to see what happens 10 minutes after I took Ormus in the auric field around me. You're going to see the color change. That means color is frequency. That means, guess what? I changed because I gave a different frequency out, a different color. You're going to see an expanding of the field. Why? Because I put more superconductor in my body.
Yeah.
And so that's the first thing about superconductors. And the second thing about superconductors is that I just forgot what I was going to say, but it's very important, and when it comes back to me, I'll pop right in.
Yeah, so can you tell us the Facebook once more?
It is the name of the book, Ormus Modern Day Alchemy.
Well, there it is, Ormus Modern Day Alchemy, ladies and gentlemen. I've seen the pictures, not only online, she's got a vast amount of pictures. I also remember seeing the pictures at your house, Chris, for the first time. We happen to have a copy of the book. It's a very informative book for those who are ready to take this on.
I'm ready to tell you what I forgot that I remembered.
Okay,
the second thing that you see when you get the Ormus into your body, and this is totally cool, and the pictures are there, is if you are of a mind-body-spirit bent, then you know about the chakras on the body. And we always speak of the seven, the major ones, the crown, the brow,
right,
the throat, the heart, solar plexus, the navel, and the base. But you might not know that there are all kinds of minor chakras all around your body. All a chakra is a vortex, and so it's bringing the energy in. Now, in Western, when you go to those areas, in Western philosophies, did you know that each chakra is tied to glands or a gland in your body?
Wow.
For example, the crown goes to the pineal gland. Each one goes to gland or glands. So what happens is that we've married West with the East philosophies that, for example, the crown chakra, when it's activated, is the one that helps us to relate to pure consciousness, which would be the all, interfacing with it, getting enlightenments, which I call BFIs. And we could go through each one, which we won't, but this is an example. So we've married Western, actually, with Eastern. And when you take Ormus, there's pictures there. 10 minutes after, I've got pictures of each of these major chakra points. And you will see an energizing. This is, again, thanks to Laz with his work with having a thermo camera that can pick up. And so you will see that there's been a major activation. Well, what happens is if you've activated your glands in the Western philosophy, you're going to get a better running body because glands run everything in your body. And so this is another, pictures are worth a thousand words. And this is another area that you can go and see. But again, it's going to mean nothing to you unless you have ears to hear. And that would be if you came down here with the paradigm that you planned to get into a spiritual enlightenment.
And we're so happy to have you on the show sharing this with us. And for folks, for yourselves, have a look at the Facebook page, Ormus Book on Facebook, Modern Day Alchemy. And you'll see the pictures. We were browsing through the pictures yesterday, and it did remind us of Lazaro with his camera, his thermal camera. And I remember doing live pictures then, too. He was showing us before and after effects of Ormus. I love how you brought forth the chakra system and how it relates to the chakra system. Chris, we have a caller. Are you okay with taking a question?
Okay, don't beat me up, though, because remember, I'm the person who demonstrates how to collect it. That's why I don't usually reach out, because I really don't want to get beaten up.
Well, it could be where the person pressed the button accidentally. We'll see. We'll see how it goes here.
Okay.
Area code 587. Are you on the phone?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. What's your name?
Bonnie Auger.
Welcome to the show. Do you have any questions?
Thanks. Yeah. I'm just wondering, well, I just ordered some more Ormus yesterday. I'm wondering if it's better to make it on our own rather than buy it from somebody else, because then we can put our own intentions into it, correct?
All right. Thank you for the question. Chris, what's your take on this question?
Bonnie, thank you. That's a core question, and let me give you my thoughts on it. When you receive the Ormus, certainly the collector's imprint is on it. If the collector is highly enlightened, they might think to imprint in the Ormus to not imprint. And that is a possibility. And I have heard Don Nance say that he does this with his products. His website is oceanalchemy.com. Unless the material is supposed to be going out to somebody who's in poor health, in which case he imprints health. And so when you get it yourself, you can re-imprint it, not knowing if the collector unimprinted it. And that's by holding it and giving it your intention. I always welcome the Ormus into the physical world, and I always tell it it's going to have a great experience here, and don't worry, you're going to go back when you're done to where you came from, no harm caused. Now, if you wish to push it in, they'll say, it's kind of a gross word, but percuss it. And that would be where you would take the container and you would hit it on the heel of your hand as you are giving your intention to it. And in that way, your frequency is being imprinted with force with each hit.
Wow. Oh, interesting.
So, as far as collecting for yourself, yes, I always encourage, I want everybody, it's not going to happen, but I want everybody to collect it. When you take the Ormus, you are feeding the spirit that's inside of you. Now, one of the reasons that people in the Ormus community, some people, and really they're thinking deep when they say this, they say, don't go out there and tell people about Ormus because not everybody has a good spirit, and you don't want to feed those darks. So just wait till the seekers find you. And that's a very valid point, because you are going to feed the spirit that's inside of you. In fact, we will say, and I heartfully agree, that if you are with a significant other, be sure both of you are in agreement to take Ormus. because I know of one. I know of more than one case, but intimately, two intimately, but one as a friend who came to the first Ormus gathering that I had, all excited. He was a type A personality, and his wife was a very passive, laid-back individual. And they just thought Ormus was going to be the best thing since sliced bread, and they took it, and what happened is he turned more alpha, getting into his business even more, so she turned more laid-back, and they were going to have to split. They actually made a conscious decision to stop the Ormus because they wanted to stay together, and they had found a way to make that happen, but not when each of their, who they were, was fed. And so I do want to put that out there as a caveat. You can always maybe remember that you heard that, not necessarily as a human being you're going to actually do it. You're going to feel calm and you're going to feel centered. It's very hard for it to get chiseled when you are taking Ormus because you really get it that it is what it is. And by the way, it's all okay. So, you know, I could be in traffic. I'll say an I because it's happened. And I'm taking my Ormus, and the people are acting like jerks. And I'll say to myself, oh, God, I really hope that they make it there in time. It obviously must be very important to them. You know, instead of saying, you SOB, you're going to destroy my brand-new vehicle for what? For nothing. You just, no, you know what? Everybody has their path. I'll be standing in line 5 fast. I don't care. It's only time. You know, time is just the time it takes. And I'll start looking at the people ahead of me and seeing what they're buying and being happy that they had the money to buy something that they thought would make them happy. And that's the part of the second thing that I can tell you that you end up feeling is a spiritual connectness or oneness with everything and with the universe, with plants, with animals, minerals. The Greeks called that agape love. And you feel that. And so you're aware of this life force that's everywhere, which is quintessence, by the way, the sixth element that nobody's told about in this society. So we just live in the mundane, as I mentioned before. And because you're widening the bridge of communication between us and the quintessence, the God force, as we discussed earlier, you're getting insights and wisdoms that just come into your head. They call them brain flash insights, BFIs. And these end up changing your way of being because, you know, an education piece does, when you know it, you own it, you end up changing from what you were being to a new what you are being. You're able to handle stress more because, you know, really, how many times do we not want to be the way we have acted? But we know we were stressed. We were tired. We were overtired. And we're acting like we don't really, what's not really us, but it is us when we're not well fed. And this material feeds the you, the spirit. It also feeds your physicality too, because there's no doubt you're looking at minerals. There are minerals in here. There are minerals that come from the sea, and you're collecting, they're dropping, you're collecting all of them. And in our body runs on minerals. Every single most all of the reactions that occur in the body from the enzymes on down need minerals. Our food needs minerals to be absorbed. Our glands need minerals to work. So you're giving them a shoot of minerals. But now listen to this. You talk about minerals and saying, okay, some people, I don't care if you bring Ormus into your world or decide to search for it because you heard the word minerals. And that's a very physical, traditional chemical understanding. Yeah, I'm going to bring some minerals in. I don't care if that's the reason you do it, but I'm going to tell, then there's no but. I'm going to share something with you. You're going to go to Modern Day Alchemy Facebook page. You're going to look at the pictures under agriculture, and you're going to see tremendous growth after, tremendous vitality, and the roots are going to be bigger, the fruit and the flowers are going to be bigger, everything's going to be bigger. And you're going to say, holy my God, okay, I guess we fertilized it. Well, let's say that you took that seawater and you got your precipitate. You use 1 to 3 gallons of precipitate diluted per tremendously larger plants, huger flowers, huger fruit. Within the third year, you're going to have to buy bigger boxes if you sell because they ain't going to fit in the box that you're currently buying. Now, you say, oh, wow, well, what happened? I want you to know, if you didn't already know, and most of you probably don't, that the three major elements in fertilizers is nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. The nitrogen is thrown in to promote the leaf growth. You know, ice cream leaves. The phosphorus is thrown in to promote the root growth. You ain't going to get a good top without a good bottom. The potassium is thrown in to promote flower and fruit growth. And so you'll say, okay, well, I guess we're throwing in some nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. But when we just look at one of these minerals, and we could look at all of them, you're going to see that the recommended amount to fertilize plants is, God, hundreds, thousands of times more per acre than the amount that is in the seawater precipitate that you just put on the land at 1 to 3 gallons per acre per season.
Wow.
There's something else in there. Hello, knock, knock. Stop, look, explore. Bring it into your world up close and personal. Experience it with your plants. Give it to your animals. You got animals that you put in to show? Hey, you want to get the blue ribbon? Give it to the animals. You're going to get better fur, better feathers. You're going to get a better mind disposition, you know, well, as long as they aren't, you know, some animals are just like people. They have a bad attitude. But you're going to, you know, the possibility is you're going to go to the top and give it to yourself. Experience it.
Well, thank you so much for that insight, Chris. I hope that answered your question, Bonnie. I have a question in the chat room, Chris. Are you ready for it?
I am.
Okay, from Robert Anderson. Robert, thanks for being on our show today and listening. So the question is simply this, Chris. Does this help decalcify the pineal gland? Not sure if I'm even on the right track. This is the first time I've ever heard about this. So pineal gland.
Okay, pineal gland. Remember, the pineal gland is associated with the crown. Robert, how nice of you to ask that, because you already mentioned how the crown chakra has to do with our pure consciousness, our ability to assimilate the ultimate truth, like the ultimate truth about life is that we're here to love, and that's a wooey word, but all love means is to do good. And all good is means to do actions that expand, make things bigger, better, okay, versus which gives you actions that diminish, you know, diminish possibility, humiliate people, degrade them, steal from them. So the pineal gland being, you know, receptive and able is so important. Of course it is, and there's all kinds of information out there about how the pineal gland over time becomes calcified might be too hard of a word, because we do still maintain consciousness. Consciousness is the fact that we live and we experience being alive. So obviously the pineal gland's working. But there are thoughts that little granules of calcium calcify in there, and that there's certain things in our lifestyle that promote that. Probably the cell phone by my head is one of them. I have not heard of anybody speak about Ormus decalcifying the pineal gland, Robert. I haven't read anything of a belief system about that. And so I can't say it does. If you are so inclined and of this belief system to pendulum that question, or if you have anybody with Ormus, put the pendulum over the pendulum and ask it if it will assist a decalcification of the pineal gland, and get your own answer for that.
Well, thank you for that that description, Chris. Chris, I want to get into what you've been doing lately, and maybe the TV show that we were talking about. That's called Explore the Keys with Chris Emmons TV show on Comcast TV, channel 88. And I just want to switch up the topic a little bit and maybe get into what you're doing lately with the TV show and what's coming up.
Well, I really don't like to expound much on me, Sam, because we all are me. You know, we got our me's path.
Yeah.
So when I speak, I will try to embellish that what might edify the listeners in their world. TV Channel 88 is a local TV station that just started in December here in Marathon, Florida, in the middle of the Florida Keys. And it is going to be available live, stream live. It is not currently doing that. And when it does, it can be discovered at the website marathonfloridatv.com. That being said, I want to tell everybody for their own life and their own walk that all possibility begins with emotional connections. So maintain and uphold good, strong emotional connections with whomever runs into your path, because you never know where that's going to lead. Now, the owner of TV88 and I are pals, and he had heard his company, Conk Records, had done the video for me that is on YouTube about Ormus, and the name of that video is, and I suggest as a speaker that y'all go there and watch it. It's a simple name, Intro to Ormus by Chris Emmons. Apparently, he was blown away at my presentation and said that I must have taken lessons, which I didn't. But I told him perhaps in a past life I was an orator or maybe a lawyer. And so when he was putting together the TV show concept channel, he asked me if I would host a show. And as a pal, I said that I would. So, but I had to have full license as to what goes on it. And so therefore, I utilized the show to mention something about the Ormus material or sea solids with each episode. I take you somewhere in my mind, somewhere in the fabulous Florida Keys. The show is available for you to watch. So you can also watch my body language, my way of being, get a feel for if you feel that I'm an honorable, honest individual. I think I'm a straight shooter. I've been told that I've been told by a friend that if someone told them that the sun wasn't going to shine in the morning, they'd say, oh, yeah, sure, fine. But if Chris Emmons told them that the sun wasn't going to shine in the morning, they would say, I don't think that's right, but I'm going to take a flashlight to bed with me tonight. So you can watch the TV show, the episodes that are currently being done in the can, so to speak, at the YouTube, and it's the name of the show, Explore the Keys with Chris Emmons. I also started a Facebook page for the show, same name, Explore the Keys with Chris Emmons, so that you could know what I'm doing and when another show is coming on. And so that's what's happening with the show. It's all part of the work that was put in front of my nose, because I didn't go out and solicit it, as a way to forward that work of getting Ormus awareness, little seeds dropped into the, you know, virtual world.
Yeah, well, there you have it, folks. There is a YouTube that Chris just explained to us. Check it out. And you can see what's going on. I checked it out. It's a great intro. And Chris, you're very thorough with what I think part of your journey is also, you know, to share this in your own way. And the way you describe this topic, it comes in clear, concise, and concrete. You can't get any clearer than what you're saying. Chris, you mentioned Greece earlier. Do you know anything about the history of Ormus and alchemy? Because that's intriguing to me personally. I don't know if you do know much history, but can you share with us if you do know any history on it?
Well, alchemists were killed, okay? They were collecting the good stuff. But the powers to be, this is really in these latter times that you're even being allowed to know about it. Have a venue to know about it. Don Nance has a treatise back in the 14th century where an alchemist records how to collect the Ormus from the gold. And so, you know, he has that treatise from that time. We believe it way, way farther than that. We believe that back in the early Egyptian times it was known. We believe that they called it showbread because the showbread was made out of gold, but it was something that you could eat, and that's not quite possible. You can't eat metal gold.
Right.
And that when you go and see hieroglyphics and you see them holding a huge elongated triangular shape, we feel that that elongated triangular shape, which they say in the hieroglyphics, takes you to the field of Mifket, and it was supposed to be a wondrous field. They describe it as like being close to the divine, which is what I'm saying here. You get a wider bridge of communication between you and the divine. And so I know that Petrie, the archaeologist, you can buy his book in Sinai. In the early 1900s, he discovered in the mountains an old laboratory from the Egyptian, ancient Egyptian times. And on the ground was still loads of this white powder. I mean, lots of it.
Wow.
And he could tell in the book, it all explains how this was definitely a place for working with the metals and gold. So, you know, there's a lot to be said for the past and the antiquity past, and then we lost it. We believe we lost it because the Amalekites came into Egypt, and they were a very fierce tribe, and they killed everything. And so the stupid them, they killed the high priests who knew how to collect it. And then they chased after the Israelites because the belief is that Moses was actually, you know, part of the higher echelon, and he knew how to collect it. And they were trying to get at him. But he escaped. They were going in different trajectories, so they didn't really know where he was. And then guess what? You read in the Bible where he comes down and sees the Israelites had made the golden calf, and that's a whole other thing. It's mentioned in two areas in the Bible. I know Deuteronomy is one of the areas. And so he ground up that golden calf, and he strewn it upon the water, and he made them drink of it. Well, what the heck? What are you doing? You know, you can't do that. You can't drink gold, please. But what you can do, and it is in that 14th century text that Don Nance read and elaborated on in a phone call at the most recent Ormus group gathering we have here in the Florida Keys every month, was that you can make a white powder from it, which then you do strew upon the water and drinketh of the water. And why would he do that? Was be to raise the Israelites' conscious awareness to the divine. Stop it. Stop being, you know, this is just a hunk of gold in the shape of a calf. How stupid can you be? God is so much bigger than that in your life. And so somewhere in there was the answer to your question?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's very intriguing, the story. I almost want to say, you know, you want to know God instead of praising the gold, just ingest it, you know, type of thing. So, yeah, that's quite amazing. Would this be referred to as the manna in the Bible?
There are those who believe that this would be what would have been called the manna. I can't say that I'm part of that belief system.
Okay.
However, I will mention, we do call it manna, okay? We say that as it's collecting, forming, and then dropping, we call it doves, we call it flakes, we call it the precipitate, we call it the drop, we call it manna, because it adds great stuff to your life.
Yeah. And so what are some of the ways you collect it for people who are more interested in the practicality of this process? What are the different ways to collect it?
Okay, those who are interested in the practicalities, I want to refer you to a YouTube video of Chris Emmons. And it is called Learn About Ormus from Chris Emmons. It's like 2 minutes and something. And you'll see me do like a really quick, okay? It's not the whole thing, but you'll get a feel for what, because visuals are so much easier than words. Basically, what I'm going to tell you, the wet process, because the wet process makes a great product. There is no need to go into the more time-consuming dry process.
Okay.
The wet process is going to really add to a life. And what you start off with is a salty source material. So you're going to have seawater. You're going to have natural sea salts that you redissolve in distilled water at a rate of 1 gallon distilled water to usually it's 1 cup of the natural sea salt without any coloring or without any flavoring added to it or scent. And some people will go as high as 2 cups. Some people will go as low as 1/2 cup. But you end up with a salty solution. You can also buy the Great Salt Lake, which is another natural salt, and do the same thing to reconstitute it into the Great Salt Lake waters. You can buy Great Salt Lake water itself in quarts and gallons. So now you've ended up with your salty solution. You take your salty solution and you put it in a glass container. You can put it in a plastic container also, as long as the bottom of the container has the triangle in it with the number 2. That's the type of plastic that we use. And then you add to this solution with a bottle that has the top that you can stream in, and you have a pH meter to measure the pH. because the seawater is going to be about pH 9, 8.5 to 9, and our object is to go no higher than pH 10.78. And it's okay to stop at 10 pH. It's okay to stop at 10.5 pH. We just don't want to go above pH 10.78 in case there's some elements in there that have that will drop at the higher pHs. Those would be your toxic elements, your mercury, your lead. Now, there probably is none in there because you take care as to where, you know, you harvest your sea salt. You take care as to where you get your seawater. You don't go near shipping lanes where this stuff is. You go below 50 feet from the surface where the pollutants mainly are in the top 25 feet, and you go another 25 because we always err on the side of extreme safety in ormus collection processes. You collect the seawater from 35 feet up from the bottom, so you're not collecting the organic material. So now you've got a pH of seawater of 8.5 to 9. You're adding a highly alkaline material. That means highly basic material. It's pH 13, 13.5. pHs only go as high as 14. But the object is to take that pH 8.5 to 9 using a high pH liquid that's pH 13 to 13.5 up to a pH of 10 or 10.5, not going above 10.78. And what you're going to observe is the flakes that form and fall. And you're going to give them time. You'll cover them so that no dust or anything gets in them. You'll put them in a dark area because ormus does not like any fields, electromagnetic fields. And so you're going to put it in a dark area. And for a day, and you're going to watch it settle. You're going to decant the top water because you don't want that. That's high pH, 10.78. Although, remember, milk of magnesia that you ingest is pH 9. So people who are afraid, you know, I can only, you know, ingest stuff that are neutral pH 7. But the idea is you're going to decant that top water, and you're going to add distilled water to the precipitate, stir it up real good, and so that you can break up that stick, viscous, high pH material that you had dropped in there. Let it settle another day covered and then decant the top. There is something I do it three times. Let it settle, decant the top, and then we usually add half as much distilled water as there was precipitate, and then you're done. Just store it. Now, about storing it, this material is stressed by electromagnetic fields. So you store your ormus always in a metal canister, and it has to be the kind of metal canister that a magnet will stick to, because then you know that metal canister has iron. It's called a Faraday cage, if you want the fancy word. And electromagnetic fields will not go through iron, but it'll go around. So your container now has this field going around it, not through it, and into the ormus to stress it, because the ormus has been known to leave. Now, your electromagnetic fields are in your house all over. And that would be anything electrical. It would be your refrigerator, your stove, your dishwasher. It would be your TV, all of your electronics, your light plugs at the wall. So we say stay 6 feet away from those things when you're allowing your ormus to settle in the dark, you know, because you don't want to stress them. But that's another thing, too, when we talk about what do we experience with a superconductor, and that's what I forgot to tell you earlier, is that a superconductor does not like electromagnetic fields, okay? And therefore, when you go to the Facebook page, Ormus Modern Day Alchemy, and you look at the photos, and you look at the photos of the anomalies, I actually made an album of anomalies and during the processes, and you will see your ormus levitating. You will see it on the bottom stratifying into a one layer and then 4 inches up another complete layer. You will see amazing things where the ormus has actually levitated. And that would be, we feel, well, first of all, we feel it's a superconductor and it is reacting to the natural electromagnetic field of the earth, which is there. And at certain times of the month, different times of the month, that field will get stronger and wax and wane. And so it's further, if it were just traditional chemistry that I'm sharing with you, this would never happen, these anomalies you're going to see visually. And this is just further, you know, I'm throwing at you. Something's here, guys. Stop. Think. Take it or don't take it in your world. But I want to give you visuals because that's so much bigger than talking in your own life walk. And this is all about your life walk.
Yeah, I remember the time you displayed it to us, and we saw it occur right before our eyes. They were like little white, almost little white clouds, I would say. So yeah, I want to add to the visual. I had the visual of this, and I want to share with people, that experience through what I'm saying. And we did see the little white clouds occur after the pH was at a certain level at your house, Chris. I remember. Well, Chris, this has been a great show. We're close to closing now. I'm going to hand off the microphone to Cabrini, and she'll close the show with you. I want to bid you a great blessed day, and thank you so much for taking the time and sharing this with us.
Thank you, Sam.
All right, Chris.
Thank you, world.
Wow, what a ride we've had. I just want to thank everybody for being with us today. As you have heard through the show, that we had various disconnections, and on this show, on our Creative Consciousness show, that happens quite frequently because the energy and the vibration that we work with, it is a very high intensity. And a lot of times the machinery around us just can't get that information through. So we are so glad and honored that you have stayed with us and held the space for us. And because of you, we're here today. Chris, it's been phenomenal. You always bring forward such clarity, and your perceptions of Ormus and what it is, I can validate it. We've been in the experience of Ormus with Chris. And one of the most beneficial experiences I had was just how my well-being increased and my sleep patterns changed. And that to me was just phenomenal. For those of you, we will be closing here. The show will drop off in about 30 seconds. You can listen to the show in our archives. But just give us a little bit of time to clean it up just because of those interruptions of energy. Our website is alltruenatural.com. Chris Emmons' website is ormusbook.com as well. And, feel free to connect with her. She's an amazing woman, and she's bringing forth, the light of Ormus to everyone she meets.